Hey pissheads, welcome to Drinking Games Podcast. This week we, well, month shall I say, fucking hell, he's had too much already. This month we're talking EGX. Yes, the Drinking Games crew was there, so stay tuned to hear our thoughts. Like, subscribe and follow, bitches. So like how we start every fucking month, we talk about what shit we've been playing. First up, we'll go with you, Lola.
Lola
is better.
Semantics,
I know. Well, sick Lola has been playing Yakuza Kiwami 2.
Nice.
Which I got for my birthday at the end of August. So I've been playing that, which, my God, are those cutscenes long.
Really?
So I've been playing it on stream. And then, like, I can literally, I get to a cutscene, start up a cutscene, I can put the controller down, go make myself a drink, go to the toilet, come back, and it's still going.
Wow.
Yeah, Japanese like the story.
I was going to say, yeah, that sounds very much Knights of the Round.
The first one had cutscenes. This one has, like, films.
Wow.
No wonder this game's longer.
How long is the game?
This one, I think, is 14 hours, if I remember rightly.
How long's the first one?
10 to 12.
Oh, I should really play that.
You should really play
that.
Well,
that's main story, isn't it? It's not if you do the side quests.
Yeah, it's like 30 hours completionist, first one. But main story, I think I did it in about... 20-ish. And I did a fair bit of side stuff. I just spent a lot of time in the karaoke bar.
Is that turned into like a rhythm game then, when it's in the karaoke bar?
Yeah, so yeah, you hit the buttons at the right time, or I go and play down at the Sega Arcade.
Oh, I'm assuming that's very reminiscent of Shenmue in terms of its National Arcade. So what's in Kiwami 2 that's not in Kiwami 1? How does it evolve, the game?
It looks better.
Okay, so
it does look a lot better.
It does look better.
The fighting better.
The combat... I don't know, I don't prefer the first one's combat because... Mm-hmm. In the first one, as far as, obviously, I'm not very far into number two, but in the first one, you could choose between being a brawler or doing the dragon moves or being, like, there was four different options.
You could customise your playstyle.
So I brawled my way through that game.
Right.
Because I just like hitting buttons. Brawler is great if you're a button basher.
Yeah, there is that type.
And you don't have to time your presses or anything. A dragon, you have to time everything. And I was like, I can't be dealing with that. This is why I can't play Arkham. Because it's too much timing.
Wow, you'll hate the game I'm about to talk about.
Probably. But this one, number two, you don't have that option.
Okay.
You're stuck with what you're given. And instead of it, like, the little menu telling you what you do as you walk around, you now get text messages to tell you.
GTA 4.
Yeah, so every 2 seconds your phone goes ding! Fuck off! It's like my own phone doesn't go off that much as what his does.
Yeah, that was part of the reason why I stopped playing Persona 5.
Yeah.
It was bad enough with the cutscenes, but then when they added in the extra story narrative through the phone, it was like, fuck off. No.
So now I just skip all the messages.
Could be Dead Rising. Dead Rising 1, that guy on the fucking walkie-talkie. All the times fucking doing me your shit. That guy was a prick. But, I don't know, Kiwami 2 looks alright.
Yeah.
Kiwami 2 is so far very, very good. I am the worst host manager ever. So in 2, you get to be a cabaret manager.
All right.
Yeah, so it's like a little side mission that you do, and then they're going to go into the Grand Prix, which I haven't done yet because I thought I'm fucking shit at this, so I'm not doing it.
So is this some sort of like a base built in with the cabaret bar where you get to...
Yeah, so you have these three girls, and
okay. You
have to attend to all these men's needs. But
okay, you press very progressive from what I'm hearing.
Yeah, you press the buttons and they don't work. Nothing happens. They just leave dissatisfied, so I end up like spending more in gifts than what I do actually earning. So I'm not very good at that. So I've given up on that.
Okay. So is it an improvement from the first one, or by the sounds of it, they've taken a lot of it away, a lot of what you enjoyed away?
Yeah. So it's not as open as before. Okay. You can run around the streets like a lunatic, which is what I did mostly in the first one.
Mm-hmm.
But the first one, your story is kind of with round the city.
Okay.
So similar to how GTA works, you go to a point, that is where your mission is. Whereas in 2 it's a little bit more linear. to be honest. It's kind of not letting you do anything else unless you go and do this mission.
Okay.
So it's a little bit more restrictive.
Not a gate in there.
Yeah, and yeah. Although, like, I went to go do, there was a boss fight within 10 minutes of the game.
Good, first 10 minutes of the game.
I went to do that and I just went, holy fuck, I'm not high enough level for this.
Oh, wow.
Like, I died 4 times. Like, just because I could not beat him. So it was Raiju that you take on, so you learn him at the start of the game, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. If you've ever played Dead Souls, you'll know him from that as well. So, yeah, I then had to go back to the city, level my arse up so much, and then went in and did him first time.
That seems like a strange... Like, I can understand bosses at the start of the game. It's usually a boss at the end of the tutorial to prove that you've known, you've learned the lessons they're trying to teach you. And
that was the tutorial.
But you had to go and grind to be able to beat the tutorial. That's either, that implies that either the tutorial's not good enough, or there is a really sharp learning curve. And from my exposure to Yakuza, and granted this is someone that's played fewer than 20 minutes of Kiwami, is it's very hard to jump into that sort of world. So if you've also got a troubling narrative, troubling tutorial, you're going to put off a few more people.
One is a lot easier to learn. Mm-hmm. One holds your hand a lot better.
Okay.
So I think they assume by two that you know what you're doing. But it's not the same controls. It's not the same.
Japanese game design is very... They do that a lot. it was Metroid Prime 2 Echoes. They pretty much just rack that up because it was just like, all right, you've done Metroid Prime 1. Here you go. Here's Metroid Prime 2. Have a fucking crack at this. And then it... Yeah.
Which is good. I can see the positive benefits of that, but it assumes you already know what you've done, and it means that you have to do homework to play the newest iterations of the game.
Yeah. So I'm enjoying the story. Okay. Like, it's got me sort of hooked, so I want to find out what happens during the story, and I recommend it, but definitely play the first one first. Okay. Otherwise, you are not gonna have a Scooby Doo what's going on.
Yeah, that kind of puts me off. A little bit.
I mean, that is a thing with Yakuza's. They also, all fall out, so.
Yeah, they do, and the second one. Ruins the first one within the first 5 minutes of the game.
Okay. Except for Dead Souls. Dead Souls doesn't really...
Yeah, if you play Dead Souls, maybe like that, that has nothing to do
well,
with...
Well, there's few hits of stuff, but it's its own its spin-off thing with zombies and stuff. It's a lot of fun. I've not finished it yet, but I actually played it. It's quite good. At first, I didn't like it, but after a while, you realise it's just arcadey. It's basically... Open world zombie revenge on Dreamcast, that's the way I see it, which zombie revenge is a hidden gem on the Dreamcast.
Not played it.
Yeah, that's what I've been playing.
Cool, I'm sure we'll talk again about this on the next one, because I imagine this game is going to be...
I might play, well, I've been playing some other things. I'm not going to bore you all with everything that I've played.
No, but I imagine that this is something that you'll be playing for a while, based
probably,
on that.
But yeah, can I just add one more thing?
Of course you can.
So I have just played a demo for a game that's due out later this year.
Right.
They haven't got a date yet, I don't think. So it's called a game called Incredible Mandy, which is done by a Japanese, I think it's a Japanese studio.
Incredible Mandy.
Incredible Mandy.
As in MDMA.
No.
Mandy as in...
Short for Amanda.
Okay, right, yeah.
Definitely MDMA.
There is a game called MDMA that's come out recently. Oh, nothing to do with the drugs. I can't remember what it is. Carry on.
So it's, if you've ever played a game called Rhyme or seen Rhyme.
R-Y-M-E.
I-M-E.
Oh, I-M-E, the blue cover rather than the, I don't know why I picked it off cover, because that's still like I really remember from my thingy, but where you play the young kid running around the Adventure Island, not Rhyme, the fictional fantasy sports game.
No, definitely not the fictional fantasy sports game.
Give that a go, it's quite fun. No,
the one that where the fox follows you around for the first like hour of the game. So, basically they got Rhyme, they controlled Seed and controlled Bead, and made a very pretty game.
Okay.
So it's a similar sort of concept. You've got to put loads of puzzles to solve, but the demo that I played is about 30-40 minutes long, and you get a good grasp of what's going on. Shout out to the guys behind Incredible Mandy, because I've been chatting with the developers. They took a lot of inspiration from Rhyme, and they're just really, really, really cool guys that I've been dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
And I want anybody who listens to this to go play that demo. It is on Steam.
So say it one more time. Mandy.
Incredible.
Incredible.
Mandy. That's the cold, you see, I have to repeat.
Bombs up, folk.
Okay. Yeah, just looking at the pictures of it, it looks very similar to Rhyme.
Very, very similar, but it's story, from what I know of reading about it, Mandy is your sister.
Okay.
Well, let's be honest, fucking indie games are all cut and pasted fucking Dark Souls, so why not cut and paste something that's a bit obscure like Rhyme?
Yeah, why not?
Kind of an indie game as well.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It's on Switch, so.
Yeah, reminds me a little bit of. Has essences of Ico.
Okay.
To him, like, from what I can see.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me a little bit of that as well, but more colourful.
Cool.
Ico wasn't overly colourful. But the enemies are like shadows.
Mm-hmm.
So, which obviously that Ico was gently shadowy, creaturey things. So, yeah, anyway, I recommend that demo. Go and check it out.
Cool.
On Switch. If the demo's on there, play it.
Jack, what have you been playing?
Me? Oh, right.
Lots of games.
Are you playing loads?
Lots of games.
Do you want me to go first?
No, I'll narrow it down to one. I've not finished it yet, which I know is not normally my role in this shit, but I kind of want to talk about, which is The Observer.
Observer? I've not heard of that.
It's a... say walking sim,
right,
kind of thing. But yeah.
Oh, as in a observer, as in rather than a fun title, it's actually you're meant to observe things, right?
Well, you're a detective, mm-hmm, and you can hack into people's minds and then see their thoughts.
All right.
So you find, well, your son contacts you at the start of the game, and then you go to his kind of flat complex thing.
Mm-hmm.
When you're in there, you notice that you think it's your son's head's been chopped off, and you find out that it's this like secret computer thing in his house.
Spoilers.
Well, no, because it's right at the start of the game.
Yeah.
There's a book of 1984 inside, so you think obviously it's something to do with this company within the game, and then there's a lockdown because of this kind of epidemic thing with, I think it's like Android people that makes them go, called the neurophage, which makes them go a bit crazy. So there's a lockdown in the complex, and then you basically go around there trying to find out what's happening, talking to the people. You play as, well, your character is voiced by Rutger Hauer, who's Roy from Blade Runner.
Okay, nice.
It's very Blade Runner-y. It looks really nice. There's a lot of frame rate dips. If people are bothered about that, it's quite noticeable at some points. But all in all, the writing's quite solid in it. It's got quite a nice lore, even though a lot of stuff's quite ambiguous. It's just really well game. Very weird.
Okay.
Kind of horror-y. The only downfall to it is that some sections have this stealth mechanic where this, like, when you go into, because you can hack into people's brains and see the thoughts, so there's some bits where there's like creature things that kind of like to follow you, and it's hide and seek. And at that point, I know why they did it, because it's kind of gamey, but I think if they were just confident enough just to rely on the story, it would be a hell of a lot better without that part in it. But observe it. Yeah, it's a really good game. I strongly recommend it. I'm having a lot of fun with it, and it's a very, very quite a strong game.
Cool. I'm glad you mentioned the mechanics. What so as you've started off saying, it was a walking simulator. What the main game mechanics does it?
You have a one scanner kind of view,
mm-hmm,
looks at certain objects, and another scanner view looks at biometric stuff.
So is this just sort of changing the view of the screen?
Yes,
it goes green
and then it goes red.
Similar to like your infrareds and your all that stuff.
You do have a night vision one, but you very rarely use that. But
that's similar sort of aesthetic, it changes.
Yeah, and obviously the green one scans like objects, and you get more information on that, and the red one will scan like blood or, you know, stuff like that, and you get more information from that. But again, a lot of the doors are locked in this tower block, but some of them you can ring and you'll talk to the residents and they'll give you clues or they'll talk about the world and stuff. And it is. Some of it's really, yeah, quite good.
So they've done a good job at world building, it sounds like.
Yeah,
it's a game
yeah, really good world building. I think sometimes even Rutger Hauer's probably voice acting is not the best in it. It's good, but sometimes it feels a bit hip for fat. But it's, yeah, it's a solid game.
Nice.
Solid game. Besides that stealth bit, and obviously just the technical stuff, but it is an indie game, so you've got to kind of hit that with a pinch of salt, take it with a pinch of salt. I've really enjoyed it, thoroughly enjoyed it, and it's really trippy, really weird.
Nice. What console's on?
I think it's on pretty much everything. Yeah, just
awesome.
Download one, so.
Observer.
Yeah.
Cool.
Give
that a look.
Yeah, really worth it.
I guess it's me next. I don't think we...
It is you.
Yeah, so I'm talking about it for most of the time we've been doing this, but yeah, I've been playing Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
Not just have I been playing it, I platinumed it earlier this week.
Fucking look at him.
But I was 8.4% when I got it. So 8.4% of people that have played Spider-Man have platinumed it, which is an insane stats for something that's literally you just come out
and sold a lot.
Yeah, fastest selling PlayStation exclusive of all time, plus fastest selling game of the year, all the accolades, all deserved. It's
I've
fantastic, fantastic game.
Boy, yeah, I'm not gonna lie.
Recommend it to anybody. Maybe wait if you don't really want to pay for a full price game. I don't think it would depreciate in value at any point soon. Hours of content, loads of fun. I can't rate it highly enough.
It looked quite repetitive, and I've heard it gets quite repetitive, which is the thing that's thrown me off.
It's no more than repetitive than any other game that's out there. You've got, let's say, about 12 different mission types, which are scattered all around this massive world. But what makes them... What made me not really care about the repetitive nature of most of those challenges is, or puzzles or whatever you want, it's got all of that in it, is it's just so fun going from one place to the other, the swinging around, moving
that.
Around the city, the traversal, they've got like pitch perfect. So you end up just swinging around and go, okay, there's that thing here. All right, I'll do that because it's right next to me.
Did you know that they made the trees taller in Central Park? Just so you can swing from them.
That doesn't surprise me.
There you go, there's a useless piece of information
you don't,
that you'll never use ever again.
You don't really need to swing to get around. They do a very, very good way of moving fast along the floor, basically, like whipping and getting a lot of momentum to go forward. But yeah, it's got everything it needs. It doesn't treat you like an idiot, doesn't tell you the backstory of who he is. He's in there for a long time, which means that there's a ton of Easter eggs for anyone that's a comic book fan. Collectibles offer more insight into the world, similar to how Bioshock uses audio tapes to sort of build the world, uses the same sort of plot narrative. But yeah, I mean, everything about it is just fantastic.
Three questions there.
Shoot.
Is it as good as Spider-Man versus Kingpin on the Mega Drive?
Spider-Man versus Kingpin on the Mega Drive. I don't remember that game.
It's got a badass soundtrack. All right, we'll leave that. Is it as good as Spider-Man made by Neversoft on the PlayStation 1?
Yes, it's better than the Neversoft.
That's good.
I think I can assume what your third one's going to be now, yeah.
First question. Is it as good as Spider-Man 2?
It is so much better than Spider-Man.
Oh, that's a daredevil thing
and
to say.
I can say that, I am saying that, with about 14 years difference between the last time I played that game. And I do remember loving it, but they have done so much to bring it to the modern console and the modern traversal and the modern just narratives of games that it just feels so complete. And it's its own story. Spider-Man 2, it was the film story, and
It did other things.
It did,
yeah.
But it's predominantly, it was the film story, and I loved Spider-Man 2, the film.
Yes.
Still do. I rewatched it again recently and still holds up. I know a lot of people.
I think it's the best Spider-Man.
Same. Until you play PS4, it's got one of the best stories I've played in or seen in a Spider-Man story in a while, and yeah.
I like the playable characters.
I like. I'm really trying hard to not spoil this because I know that most people wouldn't have gone out and bought it.
But I think a lot of people know there are different playable characters.
Yes, I like the two that they bring in. Both of them are huge. Huge comic book characters. MJ, everyone knows her, and Miles, most people don't. So I'm not going to go into why Miles is in it, but he's such a really cool character. If you ever go into the story, look into how he came about from the Donald Glover sort of fan movement to get him to become the new Spider-Man. It was great. And then they continued on with a really excellent comic book run.
The Miles storylines
were
pretty awesome.
What, then Miles Davis? Trumpet player. Get smacked up. Play some trumpet.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly
Bitches
it.
Broom.
Yeah, well, as you're saying that, I realise I may have to spoil it by mentioning Donald Glover.
Apologies out there. They are very...
Wait, Donald Glover, isn't it?
No, he's not.
This is...
How Miles came to be, I'm not going to... It will spoil.
From what I've seen, I mean, it has been completely spoiled for me.
Don't mean you have to spoil it for everyone else.
No, I'm not going to spoil it. No, I'm just going to say that what I saw of the Miles playable side was very, very interesting.
Yeah.
And a different take from what you would probably expect from a Spider-Man game.
Yeah. So I guess the point that you're trying to make in terms of when you're not playing as Spider-Man... when you're not playing as the main protagonist in games, it can become very demoralizing and very hard to continue because you just want to get back to being the main character.
Yeah.
Whereas what they do in this game is they offer different variables in each one of those little missions to make it quite unique and to understand why you had to be that other character. So not only does it work mechanically, it works really well narratively as well.
So it's not Halo 2?
No, it's not Halo 2. Most of the news that we will discuss will probably be about EGX, but there was a few big stories that came out since the last issue that you just can't really ignore. Let's start with the first one that followed up our last discussion.
Sony listened to our podcast.
Sony clearly listened to our podcast, although I...
No, Sony listened to our... Let me stay there. I like that.
Okay, let's live in this world.
Because let's face it, they're not going to listen to this podcast.
I just like to think the president of Sony is one of the few listeners to this podcast. Shit, they're right.
They're on to us. Fuck. Yeah. That guy's trying to defend us, but he's not doing very well. Fuck.
And then they decided to do it with Fortnite.
I think it's more that it was Fortnite. I think Fortnite forced their hand.
Yeah.
I mentioned the accounts sort of stuff in the last one, but one of the things that we didn't really mention in terms of what they were doing with Epic was they were console locking the Epic's accounts. Which meant everyone was in the broad, and that kind of forced their hand. But it's good that they're making that move. It's good that they're being a bit more lenient if it's not just for this one game, which, by the sounds of it, it is only the one game for now. In a beta, yeah.
There's a trial period.
Mean beta.
Whatever.
It's the same.
So why do you pipe down? Well, get off Twitter and fucking well contribute to this podcast.
I'm not on Twitter. I was watching porn.
So they've announced they're listening to us and they're trying. I still don't think we'll see it in any other game for a while.
Yeah.
What I'm really liking is a lot.
Have they said 76 is going
to
happen?
No, a lot of developers have come out in response to this. Fallout. Bethesda came out and said that it's still way too soon for them to have crossplay. Psyonix, the Rocket League guys, they're saying that it's still a while away for them, but it's a lot sooner than it will be for most games. There's a few of us that have come out and said that they're really excited about it, but they know that it's gonna take a while to get it in. So, hopefully we see more get on board. But
so it's basically Xbox making a narrative, and now all developers are going, shit, we've got to follow this narrative because now people want it, even though they never wanted it before.
Maybe. Microsoft were very quick to say, why can't we do it with Minecraft? Slight difference with Minecraft. Microsoft is owned by Microsoft. Again, going back to what I was saying last time, I'd be surprised if Sony were to push to get Minecraft crossplay. Because that is one, definitely you have to build a base station, an Xbox account on Switch if you want to play it. But still, listening's movement. Long may it continue that they listen to this. And hopefully we can get away from this console wars. So the next story, the other one that we can't miss, actually broke whilst we were at EGX.
Yeah.
It did feel like a bit of a rumour when I first read the news.
Didn't I read it just from like something on my phone? Completely glanced on the phone when we was on the floor. I was like, fucking Telltale's gone on for us. And we were like, what? Like, look, what the fuck?
It was kind of reverberating around the conference. It was quite a unique sort of environment to hear that, you know, one of the most iconic in terms of their art style and their gameplay. Immediately recognize exactly who made a game when it was a Telltale game. You'd tell, if you looked at 100 games, you would be able to pick out immediately which one was Telltale.
Mm-hmm. I think that helped in the kind of resurgence of adventure games as well.
They certainly did. They certainly helped push forward their narrative. That narrative being in modern games and being having exposure to us. I don't think we would get Life is Strange without any Telltale games. And Life is Strange is bigger than any Telltale game out there.
But it was when it was announced, the news was that they would finish their commitments for The Walking Dead Season 4. And then that soon backfired because they left 25 members of staff.
Yeah.
From what I recall. And then
that's what they've said.
It's been released in the last couple of days to say, no, we're done.
Well, they need money.
That's kind of why they're not got any staff anymore.
Yeah. So we can pick a couple of things on this, but with the gift of hindsight, I'm not actually surprised that they've gone bust.
No. They didn't sell too well, sadly. And it is a shame because
it is a shame.
I'm not a Walking Dead fan, so I've never played the Walking Dead ones. And I've been told I should and I haven't.
First season was really good.
But I've played the Batman ones.
Mm-hmm.
Both Batman Telltales and loved them. And I know my choices don't make a difference at the end.
No.
I know that whatever I choose, the same ending's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like I'm part of it for a bit. And like I've just got the Guardians of the Galaxy one, and I haven't played yet.
Well, this is exactly why I don't think it's surprising. I mean, you play one of them, you play all of them. They didn't do anything new. They didn't update their engine in 14 years, apart from recently they finally added a physics engine, which I didn't realise they didn't have a physics engine this entire time, which is just baffling. The games that they've released, they've just hunted the big IP, and they've gone from picking small little obscure titles like the Fables of Wolf Among Us or Walking Dead based on the comic. I mean, that was what it was off. To go into Batman and Guardians and Game of Thrones and Minecraft, like
they all... Minecraft's just ridiculous.
Yeah, Minecraft is ridiculous. But I do hope that like some of those people who have found themselves out of work now, because at the end of the day they are humans, regardless of what the decision that Telltale as a company made.
Well, it's not their fault.
Those people are still out of work.
Yeah.
There was some good storytelling behind those games.
Yeah, and I'm taking nothing away from them. I really hope they get out there and bounce back and anyone. But
a lot of like Ubisoft, they tweeted saying meet us in this bar. I know Ken Levine did a tweet of something.
The community outreach for
a lot of professionals, yeah, really jumped on it, saying like, look, you want a job, come here, have a chat and stuff. So
it kind of felt a little bit like a draft. Draft's not something you guys are going to recognise. It kind of felt like they were trying to pick from the remains of Telltale. Like every studio that I follow or read about was saying it's been amazing and reaching out to these people that have lost their jobs, but trying to acquire good talent. And you can't blame them for doing it. And it's also very heartwarming to see that there's that sort of community out there.
It shook a bit of game industry practices, because obviously it seems that like game industry doesn't follow certain rules of most like other industries that they should. So I think it's been a good shake up of like, this is how the game industry is. I mean, like crunch time in the game industry, like you talk to people like about crunch, about people get arsey about working an hour overtime. It's like crunch, you can literally live in your office and not see your family for
a long time.
So it's like,
it's all hands at the pump. It's trying to get it all sorted, which is quite unique for this industry. But it is starting to see some cracks. It's starting to prove that even big guns, like ones that you wouldn't expect, EA are starting to prove that they're fallible. Ubisoft are starting to prove they're fallible. Telltale have just gone under. I think maybe, and I know we just came off the back of Epic being, for lack of a better word, massive. But everyone else seems to be crumbling to some extent. So, it's a shame that we've lost that studio, but I'm not feeling that I've lost any. I've still got all of the other games to play. I played about five of them in total. Still loads more. Annoyed that we didn't get to see Wolf Amongst Us 2. Annoyed we didn't get to see the Stranger Things Telltale game. I think that could have been a really cool narrative. Shame that we didn't get to see the end of Walking Dead. But to me, Walking Dead ended at the end of the first season.
First season was really good, but I kind of dropped off after that. I weren't really bothered. It is a shame. They could have, if they didn't nab every hot property that was going at the moment, they probably could have spent a bit of time and made something quite interesting, but they didn't, because they just nabbed every property. So I imagine it was just go all the time.
Probably. Well, they were working on four projects, which, if you're looking at, from what we're hearing, numbers that release was about 250 employees. There were four properties.
Yeah.
That's doesn't really leave much in terms of development.
Well, I have a couple of little news stories. Can I just throw in?
Of course.
So I think it's worth mentioning Nintendo and Chris Taylor, the 21-year-old had terminal cancer and was bedridden, and his last wish was to play Smash Brothers Ultimate before his time was up, and he didn't think he'd see Christmas to be able to play it. Twitter went crazy. You know, Twitter love a good heartwarming story.
Well, social media does.
Social media love a heartwarming story. They like to make people's wishes come true. And Nintendo delivered. They gave him the E3 demo to play with his friends. I mean,
you're right.
21, to lose your life at 21.
It's horrible. It's a horrible thing. And anything that they can do to make what short time he has left more enjoyable, and if that's what he wants to play the new Smash Brothers, then credit to Nintendo for doing
that. He was so happy to have played that, and you could tell it was his last wish, because he passed away yesterday.
Bless him.
So he only played the demo a few days ago and has sadly now passed away, and that just shows that sometimes, you know, I know we've all seen Casper. And you have your unfinished business.
We're going into Casper right now. Right now is the time to bring up fucking Casper.
But I believe, like, I know I'm using Casper as a term, and I probably shouldn't be using Casper, but I'm going to go down this road.
Okay.
But, like, I feel that you can only be truly go to the other side, you know, whatever you believe, like, happens after death,
mm-hmm.
once you've done all your unfinished business. And I believe that was his unfinished business.
Yeah.
His last wish was to get granted, and that meant he could go.
I would have gone with the term fanboys, if you've ever seen that film.
No.
It's a really good film.
I prefer Casper.
Fanboys.
Casper is one of my favourite films for a kid.
Without trying to get to... philosophical. I think that's total
why
bullshit.
Not,
have
a drink. That's what you do when you've had.
He died a few days ago. I do apologise, I messed that up.
Yeah,
So within days of playing the demo, he sadly passed away. But all of his family were tweeting out and using social media and saying, you know, so humbled to be able to have that opportunity. And Nintendo pulled it out of the bag for him. And I think that's very heartwarming that they've done that.
Yeah.
It's a great game to play with friends, and so why not have your last moments with your friends, beating each other up, having a laugh, you know what
I mean?
That's what Smash Brothers was all about.
Yeah, definitely.
They may bring it online, great, whoopie-doo. But it was all about having your mates, and similar to Mario Party, hating them.
Yeah, your couch cops. It's always great. So, yeah.
It's kind of heartwarming, but also sad at the same time.
It's bittersweet. Yeah, I'll give you that. But it's also does show, like many things that I've seen recently in the Telltale example that we mentioned, is another sign of the gaming community is unlike anything else.
Yeah.
And to show that even your big studios like Nintendo have listened to people on Twitter and on social media to give this kid what he wanted before he left this earth is amazing. We've all been to EGX, like I'm sure most people in this in the gaming community have been this year. EGX, one of the biggest in this country for what it is.
EGX hype.
It was there for 4 days. Lola, you and I were only there for two.
Yeah.
Jack, you were lucky enough to be there for an extra day.
Three. Yep.
Could have done four,
yeah, I went as press, so.
Do you think he could actually have done four?
Yeah, I would have rocked through it.
You just powered through?
Yeah, I think I would have liked the fourth. Well, if I would have gone the first day, I would have saved that for mainly AAA. And
yeah,
then
I think
the rest for press and indie.
That's fair. I think, yeah. I think on a Thursday was probably one of the quieter days, so yeah, getting those massive queues out of the way would have been a wise move.
Yeah. Because that still would have been a big day. It still would have been probably queuing an hour or so, but at least spend the quieter day just hammering them out.
Mm.
And then saving the rest for like the kind of mid-tier and indie games.
Yeah, that's fair enough. So, how do you want to start? Do you want to go starting on the AAAs? I think you were the only one that actually played a AAA game. The three of us.
Well, we all played Mario Party. We'll start with that, because we all played Mario Party.
Yeah, that was very good.
October 5th.
Oh, it was in its release date.
Yeah.
Very soon.
I know every movement of Mario Party, let me assure you.
Okay, good. It's not far away then. I was very impressed with what they've done with the new one. Mainly because it's exactly the same as I remember it, just with new mini games that are very intuitive with the Switch controllers. I did really enjoy it. It didn't convince me to buy it on October 5th, though. Not that it would depreciate in value, because it's a Nintendo game, they never
do.
It's Mario Party. And it's Mario, so again, it's
and
not
Mario
good.
Party.
Yes, and it's Mario Party.
Thank you.
But yeah, it was very good. What did you guys?
I'm quite defensive over my Mario Party.
I've noticed.
We'll save you last then.
Yeah.
Well, like what the woman said, it's back to the board game old style again, because for the Wii and Wii U, they did it where it was like kind of your combo together in this car, and it was just.
Because Hudson didn't do it.
Didn't do it. That's true.
Hudson had the board game down.
So
that was something we didn't see, though. We didn't even see the board game.
No, we didn't see the board game, but it's there. And that's better, because that's what Mario Party should be.
It should be
a competitive game, even for kids. I remember, you know, just still having a lot of fun with it. And then when I was a kid, I was able to play the game properly because someone didn't get upset. Hey, Lola.
When you
screw them over on the board, because that's when it gets really interesting. When you start leaving the traps and stuff around and things like that.
And the last two or three turns, they used to do sort of like double goes, and they used to have like switching places and
so
fun bits.
Playing the mini games though. I mean, again, slap the motion controls in because it's Mario Party, and why not? And it's not too bad with the Switch. I think the motion controls in the Switch are quite tight.
They're
really, really good. And it was very rare that I didn't feel like I was in control.
Yeah.
And when I did, it was because then the woman said, "Oh, it's because you're doing it like this, so you're doing it wrong."
Yeah, so you know, all right. It's you that's at fault, not the game mechanics or the controller, which is always good to know in games like that, which are so dependent on.
Because again, motion controls have had a bad history, in for right reasons. I mean, the Wii was great for some stuff, but I mean, try and play Skyward Sword at times is a fucking nightmare.
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting if they did like a remake of that with the Switch controls to see if they can actually nail it. Because as I said, they are impressive on how they work, motion control.
They are very impressive.
It's nice to go, actually, you know what, motion controls can work, and the Nintendo have proven that they can work. But the games, a lot of fun. It's Mario Party, there's a little nice blast. What were there? There was
the Boulder Dash.
The Boulder Dash, where you're running on the barrel thing, was that one?
No, the one where you're running away from the boulders.
Yeah, so you had the running from left to right with obstacles in, and it was who could go the furthest. That was quite fun.
Only because you won.
I won most of them.
That is true. You beat a little kid.
Yeah, step up to the plate, mate. It's Mario Party.
That's true.
Stop pulling any punches in Mario Party.
Jack was crap.
Jack was.
I sucked, I did shit on it. I really did.
Yeah, we know you can't cook steak. Well, you can't cook cube steaks on a Switch console.
No, I can't.
It
was a cube steak, and then it was a lot of fun. It was nice to play with someone who was obviously clearly a lot younger.
I swear he was like 32.
obviously his parents.
His mum's doing good then.
I think that was his grandma.
Well, as I said, some parent or whatever was guardian was looking over him, which was obviously.
She kind of wasn't.
It was good to see someone younger be really thrilled with it and really got into it, even with strangers. And again, it shows the power of gaming. You know, what gaming can do. I don't know who this fucking kid were, but for a minute we was all having fun.
And I think that's the nail on the head with Mario Party, in terms of, especially with the motion controls that they've introduced, is it's a gaming leveler where, regardless of how good you are in any game, you can't be prepared for the mini games within Mario Party. They're own unique sort of skill set. So everyone goes in there at the same level, which means that no one has an advantage, which again is exactly why Mario Party is so fun.
Yeah, that is true. The one thing that concerns me with Super Mario Party, I love Mario Party. Like, it's like my favourite game of all time. I don't know, it's really sad, but I love it. But obviously Hudson were Mario Party. Hudson did an amazing job of Mario Party. That's all they ever did. It was like that they did make Mario Party.
So it was Hudson's studio.
Yeah.
Yeah, Hudson's
store, whatever we're gonna call them. So up until Mario Party 8.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it was 8, 9. Everything from 8 wasn't them.
I forgot that there was anything after 8, to be fair.
Yeah, there was. And it was taken over by a company called ND Cube.
I don't think I played any of their games.
Yeah,
I think 8 was the last one I played.
Really don't. Don't play 9. 8's awful.
Yeah, not the best.
But then, they've also done this one.
Mm-hmm.
ND Cube.
I think they kind of.
But they ruined. They ruined 9. Ruined it.
I think they just kind of knew what people wanted. And again, everyone who seemed to, I saw when I was queuing for some of the Nintendo stuff, everyone who seemed to play Mario Party really seemed to enjoy it. And that it is, it's just fun, isn't it? Really. And that's all Mario Party is. It's, you have a few friends over, get a pizza in, have a few drinks, have a round or two on Mario Party, shout at each other, swear at each other, love each other.
Yeah, it'll be a... It's
not if you're a 10-year-old kid, though.
No. It's probably going to be the game I try and convince the family to play at Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gone are the days of board games, but this is close to a board game that...
Oh, board games are still there.
Yeah. No, we still try and play a board game every year, but...
Monopoly Gamer.
We can't play Monopoly.
No, Monopoly Gamer. It's a Mario one where it's quite shorter and stuff like that.
There's no arguments like you have in proper Monopoly and it doesn't last as many games.
There's boss fights and shit, yeah.
Yeah. My when I was learning how to play Monopoly as a kid, my parents did not hold back. So me and my sister would be done within an hour, and it'd just be mum versus my dad for the rest of the night, and they wouldn't let us do anything
Monopoly
other than watch. So,
well, you got
trial by fire, so to speak.
You got to do Monopoly right. But
so yeah, I was really impressed with
my downside to it is that you have to have two additional nunchucks, which. Well, not nunchucks, whatever. The
controllers. The Joy-Cons.
Yeah,
but to get four people in, I'm glad that you're able to split the Joy-Cons in half. And each one can be a controller for someone. So it means you
still
have to
another set of Joy-Cons are
still expensive.
Expensive.
It's like 70, 80 quid.
I think there's an addition you can get that with additional Joy-Cons for £90 though. So
I think most
people will probably just do that just in case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't see if there are any of the other peripherals. I know they've recently announced the SNES controllers, which are only going to be used for the SNES games. But it'd be interesting to see if all the other controllers are compatible with
the add-on bit as well for Smash Brothers, so people can play with a GameCube controller.
Exactly. Yeah.
So it'd be interesting. They did it last time for the Wii or Wii U, and it only literally was that game, which had pissed people off. So hopefully, but knowing Nintendo, they don't listen too much.
No.
They may have listened and gone, all right, people want that support, because the GameCube controllers, it's a nice controller.
I very doubt that they will allow other peripherals as much as I like them to, based purely on games that we played. It doesn't look like you can lend them to. They lean heavily towards motion controls, so they are gonna make a bit of pocket from just controller sales. And if the community's anything to go by, if you drop a controller, they can break very easily.
Yeah.
So they're probably making quite a bit of money on those, which. Is what it is. But yeah, very impressed with Mario Party.
Starlink.
Yeah, that's... it's kind of batting on its own. There's not very much competition for those sort of flight simulator shooters with that type of art style. So go on. Tell us what you thought of
It's... kind of Star Fox.
I tried really hard to not say Star Fox.
I don't like to use kind of games in other games, but it just really did feel like
Star Foxy.
It was. I don't like to. Again, I think it's a cop out for reviewers to do that.
To compare it to another game.
Yeah,
definitely.
But it did feel like a Star Foxy type of game. You have toys with it, so you can get. You have to have this is going to be a fucking one that's going to rinse
the cash grab.
Yeah. Because you got to have a pilot toy. You put him on first.
Before you go into it, can you... Because this is something that I've not seen before. Can you play the game without buying the toys?
Yes, you can. I think when I spoke to the woman, she says you can get, like, download packs or cards so you don't have to have the toys.
Right, but you... By having packs, that implies that there's going to be microtransactions to buy said
yes.
packs. It's not going to be one.
You
name.
Can buy it digitally with. You can buy it digitally. I nearly just died, everyone.
Tried really hard to hold that in.
With his Switch.
Nearly went backwards.
Exactly, Henry. You have your ears back, mate. So, I. Where was we?
Starlink.
Starlink, so yeah, you can have it, you can buy it with packs in digitally. She did say that. So you can buy it digitally and then you will have certain, you know, features within that digital pack, so you don't have to have the toys, but there will be also add-ons because it is going to be a cash grab.
So it's not one that you can, it's not a game that you're going to be able to play, and your progression in terms of the upgrades on your ship is going to be purely based on your gameplay ability and your story progression. Because from what I'm seeing, it's only...
I imagine you just buy whatever and then that's kind of it. I don't know. I didn't really ask too much.
Okay.
On that, because I just played it and it was quite late in the day, so I was getting a bit tired to start thinking of questions.
No, I'm not saying you should have done.
And I think I had an appointment fairly quick, so I was kind of like, she's trying to talk to me, I might have. I fucking need to go.
You don't need to justify it, but from me thinking of whether I want to buy this game, if there is no longevity in a gameplay purely from gameplay, and it's not a publisher's
cash grab. The gameplay's good,
grab,
though, to be honest. What
it's,
I played.
It's not, but
yeah, you have to have a pilot, then you have a ship, then you have... You can have either one gun or two guns on the ship.
I thought you could then, like, build them and have, like, 20 guns and...
You may be able to, I don't know. I just had two guns on this game. But... You can the weapons mixed together, so I shot like this laser and I had these ice kind of like rockets.
Yeah.
So I shot the laser, which made this like massive dome, and then I shot the ice rockets, which then made
the dome ice.
Yeah.
Elemental. Yeah, it seems like it's got a few different elemental abilities, which is kind of cool. I think. How did it play in terms of flight? Do you find it challenging as someone that's played a lot of Star Fox and Pilot Wars?
So it plays very much just like Star Fox. And it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's the main thing, I guess. As long as it's enjoyable, it looks very much like a pick up and play sort of game that you can play.
Yeah, I don't think it's something you're going to spend hours on.
No.
It's something you're going to have a blast on, but...
It seems like they've got a bit of a monopoly in terms of that. Again, that flight simulator, there doesn't seem to be at least an arcadey flying fighter.
No, not really. Next is Fist in the North Star. You know the manga?
I'm aware of the manga. I was a big fan of the manga.
Yeah, yeah, it's great manga. Can't get it on DVD.
Really?
No, it only exists on VHS. Maybe you can import it. I've only known it on VHS, and I'm pretty sure me and my friends have always tried to find it on DVD, and it just, which is crazy to think.
Now that you mention it, I don't remember ever seeing it on DVD because I would have bought it. Like, because I've got a weird little mangas, the cartoons, or the comics.
Well, manga, anime. I always call it manga and anime. I just call it Japanese. The other companies, but manga is manga, even if it's cartoon or comic.
Yeah.
To me, because it's manga. It's manga. It had the yeah, that's for you VHS manga fans. You know what I'm talking about. I was disappointed with the demo.
Really?
In the fact that the demo for it was... Granted, there's other modes, and obviously when you, the rule is that at these conventions is that you play it when it says thank you for playing. You move, so someone else can go. Guy next to me at the Fist of the North Star didn't do that, which I was a bit like, a bit of a dick, but all right.
That's for the people that work at the show's... Stand is supposed to do. They're meant to.
Yeah,
well,
it was blocked off though, so
they should have been people within it that said you've had your turn. There's quite a few times where we got pushed off.
Yeah.
So like, you'd have hoped that they'd done the same for a game like that, especially if it was close.
I played the story demo, and I probably wish I didn't, because the story demo was literally mostly story. Which you're thinking, right, but no, I mean, when I say literally mostly story, I mean, I was reading text, I did one fight and then the demo end.
Oh, that seems more like a... you probably could have got away with them just showing a trailer on repeat and just having...
So, I can't... The fighting was good in it. It felt ace. And the worst thing is I fucking killed them people within seconds.
So it's very similar to Yakuza, right?
It's made by the same people who did Yakuza, okay. So it is, yes, very similar. It looked ace, graphically it looked, you know, great. I saw the guy next to me who carried on playing, I think he went on a different mode afterwards.
Right, okay.
To fight. It had all the, and all that shit, and I was just like, oh, I'm getting to, because I thought he was ahead of me, well, he was ahead of me. And then, obviously, I didn't know that he'd finished already, so I was getting pumped up, like, I can't wait to do that. And then my demo ended, I was like, you're fucking kidding me. Yeah, I'm quite, you know, I'm just going to get it, because it's Solid Fist of the North Star, and I could punch someone and they exploded in the game, and there's fucking
good.
Loads of blood.
That's good.
So it was cool for that.
If nothing else, just to make it different to the games they've made previously. You can't punch someone and make them explode.
It was obviously more laid back because of the kind of post-apocalyptic setting, but, you know, let's see how it goes. I think it'll just be, you know, good. I think it'd be more, I think, whereas Yakuza has, like, its melodramatic and then comedic elements kind of meshed, I think this one's more drama-based in the story, but when it comes to the fighting and some of the stuff you can do, like the moves and stuff are quite funny, so it
a bit more outlandish for some of its presentations in that.
But yeah, Fist of the North Star. I suppose if you like Yakuza, do it.
Yeah. Look out for that one.
We've got the probably besides Assassin's Creed, but none of us played Assassin's Creed because it can fuck off.
Well, it'll be out before this podcast is out.
And
so.
Division, which. I'm not fucking bothered about either.
I was curious about Division. If the queues were...
I think they were a lot.
If the queues were 20 minutes, I'd have waited for them. The queues were 2 hours, so no. Not playing. Not waiting for that. Just wanted to see that it was more of the same, which it turns out is, which I got from the trailers. So, that game, just more of the same when it comes out. It's got a loyal fan base that will continue with it, so...
I do. So there was, we none of us got to play Kingdom Hearts because the queues were just fucking ridiculous.
Again, that's another one, which I'm kind of glad I didn't play because I don't know, after being exposed to that game, I don't know if I'd like to have waited another 3.5 months to get to play it. I've been waiting for that game for, I don't know, 12 years, 15 years. I can't even remember when Kingdom Hearts 2 came out.
But the other biggie was Metro Exodus. I know you didn't play it. I waited 2 fucking hours for it.
yeah, you did.
And I'm not even that big of a Metro fan. I just liked how much of a progression Last Light was from the first one. Because it was a massive jump in quality. This one, not so much of a bigger jump, I don't think. They just done it open world. But again, the lore's there and stuff, so it should be good. Unfortunately, I killed everyone too quick in the demo, so again, 5 minutes of the demo, I was walking around with absolutely fuck all to do.
2 hours wait for 5 minutes.
It's about a 20-minute, half-hour demo I got to play.
It was a two-hour wait. If they were making, if you get that long of a trial period, that's pretty impressive.
But yeah, it's good. The guns felt weighty and good, and... yeah, it was, you know.
Visually,
it was nice.
What they do with the lighting.
It was on Xbox One as well. It said enhanced Xbox One. I don't know what the fuck that means.
Oh, it's probably one of the 17 different models of the Xbox One that's out there.
Yeah, probably.
the newest one.
The newest one, yeah. It's enhanced, and then it'll be super enhanced, and then
the cocaine edition.
cocaine edition.
And well, what happens after the cocaine edition?
The come down edition.
Okay, cool.
It's a bit less.
Is that powerful. The Wii U edition?
Yeah, that's the Wii U edition, which everything gets done, but it doesn't. It's done crap, so they have to wait until it's sober again to re-release
Look,
some of the things.
Wii U's all right, right? Everyone fucking slacks that, but that was a good fucking.
It's
beast.
A good console, but it was marketed badly.
Yeah, it proves how good the Wii U is because the fucking games on it are selling like fucking bastards on the Switch. So
they're taking nothing away from the publishers and developers that make games for this console itself. Didn't it just do enough to detract people from the Wii. The Wii was still working really well.
And then we'll go to Lola for this one because I know it's one of her favourite series. Lego DC Villains, is it called?
Yeah, Super Lego DC Villains. So I played it with a friend from Discord who I've met a couple of times.
Can we give her a shout out? Or?
Yeah, we'll give her a shout out. You can check her out on Twitter and Twitch, and I'm sure she's on many other social media platforms, but I don't know. KD with 3 E's, 120. she's absolutely awesome, massive Sony fan. Loves the PlayStation games. She's just super cool, very chilled, relaxed person. Who's just beautiful inside and out.
Nice.
So I ended up playing with her. We all got in like in pairs really, because there was a few of us there at the time.
Yeah, Jack and I got to play together. I think either of us knew what we were doing.
Yeah, and then we were there with. Another guy called Professor Weird One and his wife Shallow 5231, and oh my god, if I've just got that number right, like, I am going to give myself a fucking crown.
Nice.
Every time I go in Raider, I'm like, what the fucking number's at the end of their name? I've got it right, I think. Anyway, so we all paired up, and me and Katie had no fucking idea what we were doing. But I mean, like, from the 10 minutes we got to play of it, and everybody else getting like 40 minutes.
We had that problem.
So it's like, there's people waiting. Yeah, well, these guys have been on it longer than us.
We also tried to skip the character creation that got forced upon us at the beginning.
Yeah, we just randomised.
Yeah.
Randomised.
And people next to us spent fucking hours doing it, and they still managed to get it before
us. So, mental. But while we played a bit, the character switch is just as easy as what it's been in all the other Lego games.
Yeah.
You know, getting to know who does what and who's like a master builder and who can do which. It seems that the powers are a little bit more unique this time.
I liked that, yeah.
Yeah, I like that. Compared to like the Lego Movie 1, you know, obviously PS3 days,
mm-hmm.
where you had master builders.
Yeah.
And then you had non-master builders. That was kind of it.
Really. Right. Yeah, you had some people who could climb.
Yeah, some people who, like the females could climb. It was only the females who could climb. It was weird.
That's very strange.
Basically, there's a certain type of character could only do this. Certain type of character, where it's a little bit more individualized on this one,
mm-hmm.
and I quite like that. So you've got Green Goblin who can.
Green Goblin.
He wasn't Green Goblin.
He wasn't Green Goblin. It's DC.
Green Man.
I'm gonna go comic book nerd. It had Solomon Grundy,
Green Guy.
The Green Guy, that was Lex.
Some Green Guy. Anyway, some Green Guy.
Was it Lex Luthor? Was he in his power armor? I think it was Lex Luthor in his power armor.
Green, I don't fucking know.
Let's say it was.
What was it? Oh, yeah. Yeah, because it's villains. I was going to say something stupid, so don't worry.
You say Poison Ivy or something,
weren't
you?
No, because that is a villain. It's a Lego game.
It was great.
Mm.
Obviously, me and Katie, being the perfectionists that we were, had to go around and collect every single coin from every single broken thing. Griggs, as we get onto more of the indie ones, I'm sure you will cover the fact that my perfectionism.
Yeah, that was fun.
My OCD of having to make everything green.
Yes. It's like, but if we can get past the puzzle, it doesn't matter. 100% of the green.
But we'll move on to that. But yeah, I'll probably pick it up. I probably won't pick it up on release. But I'll pick it up.
Yeah, I really liked it. I really liked it. It was the DC villains. I'm a massive fan of DC villains, especially the Batman Rogue Gallery. So I was really pleased to see that they're getting a bit of time of day to show them off. And
anyway, I won't pick it up on release, but we'll pick it up. Lego games tend to depreciate like a rock.
They do.
Because they sell in massive quantities, so they drop like a stone. Which is because people play them and then they get rid of them because they're generally not worth anything.
Good games for the kids and shit, aren't they?
Yeah. Oh, they are.
Great little games. I really enjoy them. I need to play more of them because I enjoy
the
Lego movie.
They're all the same.
They are
all the exact same.
I love it. Like, you know, I've picked up quite a lot of the Lego Batman ones.
Yeah.
Lego Batman is just hilarious.
Yeah, I think one of the things they do...
very charming.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. One of the things they do really well in the Lego games is they can take a storyline that you know, but they can add their own unique comedy to it and make it enjoyable just by playing the game, even if you know the story. Which is one of the things that I found curious about the DC villains, is it's not...
Yeah.
I couldn't see the antagonist in the game from what we saw.
No, I don't know what the fuck was going on.
That Professor Man?
Yeah, but it could very easily have been Batman or Superman or any of the Justice.
Maybe it will be then.
Was it Gordon? I'd be surprised if it was. Gordon was in it, wasn't he?
I don't know.
Did you not see Gordon?
I think I did see Gordon.
Yeah, we did see Gordon, but I don't know what the fuck
was Gordon was there. Gordon was present at some point in that demo. But yeah, it was cool. I wish I got to play more of it, but you know, it depends what your face looks like, apparently.
Certainly. Hey, our faces weren't the right faces.
Neither was mine either, so you know.
The other big. None of us played it, and I've already spoken about it, but there was a lot of people were trying to play Spider-Man.
I thought that was really weird. That was the thing with VGX. There was a lot of games that are already out.
Yeah.
And I was just like, what the fuck is this?
Like, this massive Virgin Media stand for Destiny, because obviously The Forsaken has come out.
Yeah, that was also that was a free game last month on PlayStation. Like,
the Destiny was, but Forsaken is obviously the about the 100th DLC that they brought out to try and fix the game to make it a full game, even though you've already paid for the full game 3 times.
Yeah, but you can see why they're trying to push that game and they've just given it away for free to 80 million people.
Yeah, but...
But still, know, yeah, it's
you still
not...
have to pay 60 quid for the actual thing to fix it.
You can still get about good 10, 20 hours out of it without doing that extra stuff, but it's...
Loads of people. I don't know, it was a bit weird.
But you know, that's fine. The one thing I missed out on and was a little bit gutted was Spyro.
Yeah.
I really wanted to try that because although I love Crash, I did love Spyro as well.
You don't have to wait long for Spyro. I think Spyro's coming out.
That is true, but I wanted to try it before I bought it because I've got involved in the Crash hype and wish I'd never set eyes on the thing. and I wanted to know whether it was going to make me feel the same way, like that I wanted to.
I'd be a bit annoyed.
Two very different games, though.
They are two very different games.
If they make it really hard, I'd be a bit annoyed with Spyro. Spyro was, it was difficult at points, but it was a lot more easier going than Crash.
It was.
So, I like Spyro.
It appealed more to the younger generation, although Crash did.
Mm.
Crash had that difficulty level that adults would still find it challenging.
Yeah, it was also, it stems from the going from a, let's say, a 2.5 platformer of Crash to an actual 3D open arena platformer, which Spyro did. So, from what I've seen, Spyro looks really good, and I'd have liked to have played it.
Yeah.